And it's the first chat we're having this year, so Happy New Year to you. And it's Chris Hossack from Brentwood Council. Good morning.
Hi, Michelle, and Happy New Year to you. How are things?
Not too bad, not too bad. We're in a strange world at the moment, aren't we?
But we are indeed.
We're all getting on. So let's just kick off, first of all. We've got lots to get through today, so let's talk about COVID.
Yeah. As we know, and to be honest, probably as anticipated over Christmas, and as we've gone into the cold weather season as well, the COVID rates were going to rise. I think we expected that. And then, of course, to compound that, we had this out of the blue, this new variant came along, which is highly infectious. Mm. So, you know, when we've been talking about COVID infection rates sort of late last year, November time, you know, we were all Brentwood, as we know, for reasons we probably can't even understand to get into or be a separate conversation, was always pretty high in Essex, wasn't it? People were pretty high on the rate.
Yeah.
And we were talking at infection rates when it got bad at that time, around about 300 people per 100,000 of the population. That's kind of the core measure. The last data I've seen was 1,500 people per 100,000 of the population. So it's like 1.5% on the R rate, which, as we know, is a massive issue. London and the South East particularly have been singled out. We went into this enhanced Tier 4 before Christmas, and then the whole country, as which we know, has subsequently gone into a lockdown because there's some real tangible concern around just the NHS just not being able to cope. And we're already hearing stories about people being treated in ambulances, people sitting on trolleys and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And also, as we know, that the Essex Resilience Forum, and I've lost track of time of it before Christmas or shopping, might be shortly after, around the 30th, declared a critical situation because of the pressure that was on the hospitals.
Mm.
And so it's all, I don't know, it sounds pretty, it's gloomy, yeah, you know, let's not beat around the bush. But on the other hand, steps are being taken to recover the situation.
Yeah.
Vaccines are continuing to be rolled out. Testing has massively increased in Brentwood at different venues.
Mm.
So, you know, whilst it's bad news, I'm reasonably confident that things are being done as best they can to get everyone vaccinated, and please God, let's just get back to some elements of normality later this year.
Yeah, and there are vaccinations going on here. I mean, obviously you have to be called to get your vaccination, just
That's
don't
right.
turn up.
Yeah.
And been helped out by Brentwood Mutual Aid as well. There's lots of volunteers that get involved.
Yeah.
And you can actually go to Brentwood Mutual Aid and join in, because they're still looking for people to do shopping, get pharmacy runs, walking dogs, all sorts of things like that.
That's right. Looking for volunteers. We need people to, with the increase in the testing, you know, just people to, in the right way, chaperone people, make sure that, you know, they're queuing correctly, they know where to go, they're answering any questions. Just volunteers to help get people tested or vaccinated. And as you say, Brentwood Mutual Aid are leading on that. And I think on, generally speaking, on social media, they've put sort of flyers out, digital flyers out saying, you know, how to contact them if people wanted to volunteer to do something like that. So I would encourage people to do so.
And the advice is still stay home. You know, if you do have to go anywhere, you've got to wash your hands, make sure you wear your face mask, and just carry on like that for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, you're right, Michelle. And it's not just stay at home if you feel like it. It's like a kind of emphatic stay at home, isn't it?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be going out unless you know, for those very narrow scope of reasons, which are to go and get some essential shopping, you know, for medical appointments, obviously for your vaccinations, that's not closed down. But I just obviously, I wanted to make that point as well, because some people did contact me saying, oh, the Brentwood Centre's closed because of Tier 4. And of course, you know, we had it all open and then we had to close it again because of the situation. But some people contacted me saying, well, does that mean we can't get vaccinated there? And I just want to make this claim, no, the vaccinations at the Brentwood Centre are happening. And if you get an appointment or you've had an appointment, you can go down there and get vaccinated.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Now, just covering this story, I know that this story has actually been on Japanese TV as well, believe it or not, and it went kind of nationwide. It was the All Saints Church on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, look, you know, despite everything I've just said, you know, we're in a pandemic anyway. Well, that pandemic has just been escalated to beyond Tier 4. We've got Essex County declaring a critical situation to get the government's attention and say we're in a really bad way with our health service being overloaded and everything else. And yet, appallingly, There were two separate events organised in Brentwood for New Year's Eve parties. One was at Hutton All Saints Church, which is a medieval Tudor, I think, church that's under the Church's Conservation Trust. It's empty. It's been empty for a number of decades. But it's still well looked after by a load of volunteers. I know you talked to Astrid, I think, fairly recently. Yep. And then at Waits Way, which is a site in Brentwood, which is under a planning application. We'll see where that goes for a new supermarket. But these sites were illegally occupied in the midst of everything I've just described, and people felt it was acceptable to turn up and have a party, and clearly it's not. The police responded. There was some pretty appalling... I've seen video footage of it. Yeah. There's some pretty appalling reactions from some of the people who were in those parties, gatherings, whatever you want to call it, stupidity conferences, frankly, in my view. You know, people threatening the police, people giving verbal abuse. Well, the police did the best they could, primarily to disperse people safely. But I can tell you now that I have spoken to the police in Brentwood in the West area, and they are going to pursue very heavily the people who are behind this and throw the book at them, hopefully in a very, very hard way. So I've had commitment from Essex Police that they are really going to throw some real resource at this to investigate exactly what's happened and bring a solid case, because I just can't believe that people would do that. You know, even if there wasn't a pandemic, I can't believe that people would take over a church and do what they did. I mean, there was Class A drugs found in it, so it just... You know, it's there's an old word you don't hear too much, which is called sacrilegious, and I think it was, frankly, it's totally unacceptable. But in the light of what's going on, I just think there are unfortunately they're a very small minority, but it is unfortunate there are people exist that just I don't know what planet they're on. Frankly, I don't know what would possess people to do that. I know people wanted to have a party, but don't you know what's going on around you? You know, wake up, smell the coffee.
Yeah, we all wanted to. We all sat indoors on New Year's Eve and looked out the window at other people maybe doing some fireworks, and that was about it. But the wonderful thing that came out of that is that there's been over £20,000 raised for the church, which I know that Astrid set up the GoFundMe page, and within an hour they put up for £1,000. They raised that within an hour. Then they went up to £2,000, and that was raised within 2 hours, and the money's just been flooding in, so that is fantastic.
No, I think it's a silver lining to what happened, and hopefully that that they can use that money to... Because there was some damage done to the church as well. You know, this is a listed structure. In fact, it's quite rare, because it's one of the few Tudor churches that is 100% red brick built, so it makes it quite a unique church. And it's also got a listed monument in the graveyard as well, so, you know, hopefully... hopefully that they can use that money to good effect. And I will say to you as well that there are lots of, aside from COVID and everything else, there's lots of long-standing issues in and around that particular area of Brentwood with antisocial behaviour. And I'm trying to look at some bigger picture solutions. I won't say any more than that, but I'm trying to do something that's a bit more permanent, because so long as that church is stranded and kind of hidden, then it is vulnerable in the way that we saw, unfortunately, on New Year's Eve.
Now, there's lots of things happening. It's a brand new year. You know, who'd have thought last March we'd have been still in lockdown? But fingers crossed we'll be out of it before the summer. Fingers crossed. So the environment, tell us what's going on with that.
What, in terms of our...
with the rollout, you've got lots of things to talk about. You've got electric fleet, cars and all sorts,
Well, look, in terms of everything that's going on with the pandemic, you know, what we're not doing at the council is taking our foot off the gas in any way, and you can see that, I'm sure, from what you've been sent over to discuss with other things. Environmentally, you know, yes, it's all about reducing carbon, isn't it? So where's carbon produced? It's produced from our buildings, from the vehicles that we drive, and, you know, to name but two, I suppose, the key things. But we're doing what we can to try and reduce those. So we talked about, I think previously, our progress of what we call a passive house scheme. Passive means it doesn't make a net contribution of carbon to the environment. And we're looking at trying to move forward with 61 houses developed that we passive house later this year. We're going to try and push on with our electric vehicle fleet, but of course, you know, in some respects, you know, to a good 100 or more of our staff are all working from home, so yeah. They're not travelling anyway. So probably we've seen more of a carbon reduction this year than any other time because of nobody travelling to work, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
So we'll move that on when it's the right time, and we'll continue to seek opportunities to, as technology is changing with transport, to put electric vehicle charging points in place across the borough. We've already got a plan to do 20 in the next year, I think it is.
Mm.
But that needs to continue because, you know, the rate of the way in which vehicles are going to change.
Yeah.
People need to plug them in. If they're not plugging them in at home, they can plug them in a car park or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots going on, Michelle, despite the pandemic. Despite Brexit, doesn't it? But now you have to say despite pandemic.
Exactly, yes. Now, with the housing, you're going to review the sheltered housing, and you're also creating a new housing company, which is so that you use the property assets a little bit better. So tell us about that.
We've already created it. Last year was, in fact, the year before, 2019, and if you recall, but it was actually the centenary of the council house, so 1919 was the first council house it ever built, and I wanted to commemorate that by forming a housing company in the centenary of that we could do something to drive forward our investment in our housing stock, not only refurbishing it but growing it when necessary. We know there's a housing shortage. We know affordability is a massive issue in Brentwood, so we're going to continue to do that. I mentioned the 61 house development is a project that's ongoing at the moment.
Yep.
That we've got to bring to planning and see where that goes. Of course, we don't know where that's going to end up yet, but we're trying to put the best case forward to not only build new houses, but build new houses that are affordable and build new houses that are environmentally the right propositions as well. So we talked about CO2 and that a moment ago. So all of these things we're going to carry on doing. And, you know, there's lots of other things afoot that are quite technical that we're trying to sort out so that we can increase our housing stock, because we know our housing waiting list isn't getting any shorter, particularly as people fall on hard times. And, you know, who knows where it's going to end up? We already know there are people struggling to pay their mortgage, pay their rent to private landlords, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And all those people, you know, those people are struggling in that way, are going to end up on the council's doorstep to see what accommodation we can provide.
Yeah.
So this is why the housing agenda is so important, probably brought into sharper focus by the pandemic. And we've got to deliver housing growth. You know, we've got loads of work going on with our LDP at the moment as well. It's critical we try and get that over the line. And I know people don't like new homes being built, but frankly, I always take the view, if you look at yourself in your own house, what was there before that house? Probably a green field.
Mm.
So housing is what it is. We've got to try and put people, housing developments in the right location. We've got to think of the impact on the environment, on transport, on infrastructure. And it's a really difficult balance, particularly when we know that people, generally speaking, don't like change, don't like new developments, and understand that.
Mm.
But can't get away from the fact we've got a lot of people in this community, in this country, actually, but really struggling for accommodation.
Mm. Yep.
And that's just a fact of life.
And affordable as well.
Absolutely.
Now, if we talk about the community, you've got here the continued support and deliver 51,000 Brentwood Community Fund. Sorry, £51,000 Brentwood Community Fund and 15,500 mental health grants as well.
Yeah. So we'll carry on doing that during the course of the year.
Mm.
I don't think the fund's not open at the moment, but I think you know, that's just to say that we will carry on doing that despite the difficulty we've got as a community in Brentwood at the moment with all the pressure that we're under. We still, more so than ever again, need to be seen to be supporting community groups and good solid initiatives.
Yeah.
So it's not a huge amount of cash in the scheme of things, but 51 grand, if we can distribute that correctly, will come in handy to some of these volunteer groups, our community centres, and places like that.
So
we're gonna press on, and actually that fund has grown. It used to be less than that, so I'm really pleased that it's a bigger funding pot than it used to be. And as and when that money becomes available, and we have a bidding process, people put their case forward, that case will get assessed, and you know, people have got good proposals to be successful in getting some funding. So as and when that opens up, then obviously I'm sure we'll advertise it, we'll talk to you guys about it as well.
Yeah.
People can know how to go about applying for the fund.
You've also got, last year obviously we didn't have the Strawberry Fair, Brentwood lighting up, so all that, fingers crossed, will hopefully be taking place this year. If it's not, you're going to be able to, it'll be done again virtually, so that's all in the pipeline. And finishing off the play areas as well, if people can actually, you know, get back out to with children to play areas too.
Well, I mean, there's a point that I just want to pick up on as well for you guys around play areas, but, you know, Michelle, you're right. Look, what we're trying to do here now is, as a country, as a world, you know, we're trying to get everyone vaccinated. The vaccination, once everyone is vaccinated, is the only time, really, we're ultimately going to be free to return to normality. So, you know, we need to understand from the government and the NHS and everything else how successful they're being at getting people vaccinated. You know, there's, I don't know what the number is for Brentwood at the moment. It's still in the thousands, but there's 70,000 roughly people live in Brentwood, 65,000, 70,000.
Mm.
It's going to take some time to get through the population. And as we know, the approach has been over 80s, people with conditions, and it slowly goes down the scale until we get everybody vaccinated. But it's all about the rate we can inoculate people. It is so important. And of course, if we can get there, I don't know if we can get there by the summer. We have to see how we go. I think the government are anticipating trying to vaccinate 2 million people a week, which is ambitious.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how that goes on. But if we could get to July, August, and we've got this thing nailed down, you know, absolutely, we're all going to be wanting to be out there in the, you know, getting back to the things that we used to lay on, like the Strawberry Fair. June, probably. If I'm honest, I don't think we'll get there. I don't think we will, because I'm just thinking of the vaccination rate. I can't see it being done by June. But other things, when we can get out and about, get into the play areas, and that we should. But only when we've got through this vaccination program.
Yeah.
And what I did want to say, just on the play areas, because I've had some comments on this, is we know with this enhanced restrictions, return to school have been delayed, except for kiddies who've got parents who are key workers.
Yeah.
And we've been allowed under government restrictions to keep play areas open. But I still take the view, if your kids aren't in school because, you know, of threat of contamination and infection and all that sort of stuff, it just seems to defeat the object of people not paying the same level of attention to restrictions and cross-contamination when they're out in play areas. So please just, you know, they're open, but please use them sensibly is my message. Like, I've had messages of people saying that the people there were at face masks, people are bunching together, clearly from different households.
Yeah.
So by all means, the play area is open and we want them to be used. That's why we've been investing thousands and thousands of pounds in the last year getting our play areas upgraded. But just be mindful of the current situation. Don't let your guard down and please use them sensibly.
Now, with more grants, you're going to make sure, because obviously last year, all the business grants, you had a really quick turnaround time. So you're hoping to continue that that on.
Yeah, so the government announced a further $4.6 billion, I think it was, of support nationally for certain business sectors. Again, the ones we know that have been most commonly hit. And we, I don't, so it's 4.6, so we know the money's coming. I don't think we've got our final figure for Brentwood yet. And then once we've got that, we'll do exactly what we did last year and we'll put a scheme in place to distribute that cash. To people who need it. I think some of the hospitality sector, again, will benefit largely from it because they're the ones that are fully shut down. But again, in the last round of funding, we did have an element of discretionary where we, you know, we're trying in Brentwood to consider those businesses that are not hospitality but still being affected by this pandemic. Their business has dropped off a cliff, they're struggling to pay their bills, whatever it might be. So hopefully we'll come up with a scheme again that we'll try and benefit as many people as possible. But of course, in doing that, if you spread it too thin, then it's probably a meaningless contribution. So we'll have a limited pot. We'll try and give the maximum benefit out of that pot, and we'll work something out and get it out as soon as we've got the final allocation for Brentwood.
And also on to the council, getting in contact with the council as well. You've got some new initiatives going in to make it easy. I mean, it is really easy to contact. I think it's really easy to contact the council as it is, but you're putting more in place, aren't you?
Well, yeah, there's always room for improvement, I think. You know, we've got the old traditional methods. You can write to us. you used to be able to walk in. Obviously, we can't do that at the moment. Mm. You can pick up the phone and dial 312-500. And, of course, you can contact us through our website. And you can contact us through email and all sorts of people contact us through social media as well. Although I personally find that a bit awkward because, for me personally, if you're not always monitoring it, you don't always see it.
Mm.
But, of course, there's always room to improve. And, we need to look at our digital strategy. The digital strategy being how do we make it really easy for us to for people to contact us online.
Mm.
When they go to our website, is it really easy to navigate? Can they see which big button to press to take you to there to contact in this way? Or, you know, things like online chat and a whole range of things that we've got, but we can develop further and just make it easier. So, yeah, all of that, again, is work we need to do, and we're trying to progress that internally as best we can.
Excellent. It's been great to talk to you. I know you got through a lot there today.
Well,
as soon as we get like the figures that are coming through, obviously we'll be speaking to Kim on next Friday.
Yeah.
But just keep an eye on the on your website for the council, because obviously any statements and stuff will come out there as soon as you know.
We will, and we'll use whatever channels we can as updates become available and useful information we can get out, whether it's launching the grant scheme, whether it's, you know, changes in circumstances, then obviously we'll communicate that out using all the usual channels as best we can so people are informed. And, of course, using Phoenix FM as a vital channel as well, we will do.
Brilliant, lovely, great, happy, well, Happy New Year to you. I've wished everybody here Happy New Year, and let's hope it's a good one.
Let's be optimistic. You know, it all sounds a bit gloomy. It's not. Year 2021, we'll kill this thing off.
Mm.
We'll get back to normality. We'll try and get back on our feet, get businesses functioning, everything else. So, let's be optimistic, let's be positive, let's hope for the best. It'll take a few months. We've got a difficult situation for at least a month or two, or maybe three, but things will get better.
Yes, definitely.
All right.
You have a great day. Thanks a lot, Chris. Take care.
All the best to you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.